This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time 12:05, last trading day of the week. It's Friday, August 10th. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And for Chris Kreidel, I'm Jim Gottis. Welcome to the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. We are going to have a mix of sun and clouds. Could see a shower or thunderstorm south of the city and in northwest Indiana this afternoon. Heading up to a high of 83. Right now it's 82 at O'Hare.
Losses accelerating on Wall Street on this bearish day. Let's get the latest with Lisa Parenti at Bloomberg.
That's right, Regine and Jim. The Dow now down 190 points or 0.75%, and the benchmark's at 25,319. The NASDAQ is lower by 34 points and the S&P sliding 17 or 0.67%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index down 0.5%. A massive sell-off in Turkish markets reverberated around the globe, and that has that country's currency tumbling the most since 2001. President Recep Erdogan has so far failed to reassure investors that the country's economic problems won't spread. And President Trump tweeted that he's doubling metals tariffs on Turkey. Wall Street also got a look at the cost of living, and by one measure, it rose the most in a decade. Inflation, as tracked by the Consumer Price Index, is in line with the Fed's plan to hike interest rates at next month's policy meeting. Crude oil futures are up about 1% to $67.50. Gold first higher and now little changed. Back to you, Regine and Jim.
We'll take a look at what the Turkey situation is and what impact that's having on the markets. We'll also see how inflation is factoring. And Buffalo Wild Wings apparently going to be betting on sports gambling.
And coming up Entrepreneur Friday, we'll be talking with someone about Bitcoin and also blockchain technology. We'll explain what that is. We'll check in with the Arlington Million coming up this weekend.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Buffalo Wild Wings could soon add sports betting to its menu, and we'll have more on that in a moment. But first, Turkey's currency, the lira, is in a free fall, and it's sending ripples through Wall Street. Let's talk with Brian Battle, the Director of Trading and Performance Trust here in Chicago. So, Brian, how concerned should we be about the situation in Turkey and its spreading globally?
Well, Jim, there's two concerns. First is the geopolitical concern. You know, Turkey is the eastern edge of Europe. It is northern neighbor is Russia. On its east is Iraq and Iran. In the south is Syria, Egypt, and Jordan. So it's culturally and politically a very important place. But its economy isn't that big. I mean, it's about half the size of the Canadian economy and about three-quarters of the size of the Mexico economy. So it's not that big. But it is rippling because it has such geopolitical importance. So as you said, the lira, they have their own currency. It's down about 60% today and about 40% in the last 12 months. So you can imagine here in the States, they'd be like gas going from 3 to 5 in a month and a half, or for mortgage rates going from 4 to 7. So the Turkish economy is getting crushed. They had a big what precipitated all this today is their premier, a guy named Erdogan, was on TV and he was making a speech today. And in the middle of the speech, the president tweeted out that we're going to increase some of the tariffs that we have on Turkey. So their currency is in free fall. Their economy is starting to fall apart because interest rates are going up there. Their 10-year Turkish note is at 20%. So their economy is getting really destabilized. So what does that mean for us? What we're concerned about is the contagion effect. A lot of the banks in Europe have lent a lot of money to Turkey. So there's French banks, there's Italian banks, UniCredit particularly, have lent a lot of money to Turkey. So if Turkey has economic problems, if it starts to have trouble, that might translate into a contagion on the continent, and that just is bad news for them, and ultimately that's bad news for us. So it's just more instability in a place you wouldn't expect it from.
How would this compare with, say, Greece?
So the Greek situation, it's analogous. Greece had an economy that was falling apart, but Greece was using the euro. So they had a common currency with the continent. Turkey has its own currency. They're not part of the European Union. So their effect could be that they just might walk away from their debt because they have their own currency. They don't have to leave the European Union. They're already out. So What's concerning us here in the States is, will it affect our trading partners in Europe? So what's happened today then is U.S. Treasury notes have rallied, the dollar is rallying, and the yen is rallying, and the euro currency is declining. So that's all to say, there is market participants are coming to the U.S. to hide, to wait and see how this turns out, and that's hurting stocks because you can't measure the effect yet. It's just too soon. But the contagion is what we're worried about.
Brian, is this a crisis, if that's not too strong a word for it, that would have happened inevitably anyway, or is it because of inherent weakness in the Turkish economy, or is it specifically because of the President Trump's tariffs?
So it's a little of both. It's a great question, Regine. Turkey has been evolving recently from, you know, Kemal Atatürk started to democratize Turkey in the 20s, and it had really been a pro-Western sort of tolerant democracy for a really long time. Their new premier, a guy that's been around for about a decade, has slowly converted Turkey into a more Islamist state and a more of a country run by one man. So they become more unpredictable. They've sort of isolated themselves. Their economy has been declining. And then there has been a struggle between the U.S. and Turkey about a pastor that's being held hostage in Turkey. And so as the U.S., which has a gigantic economy, starts laying tariffs on Turkey, we are just going to precipitate the pressure on them. To what end and how this all turns out is unknown, because we've not really put the pressure on a country this small like this before. So I think that's why investors are being cautious, is this is some of the energy around this crisis. And I think it's fair to say, if you live in Turkey, it's definitely a crisis. We'll see how it turns out for us, but it might have more of a geopolitical impact, because it might force Turkey into the arms of Russia or into Iraq as someone that can save them. And that would be not good for Western democracy, and probably not good for the global economy, because that just makes Turkey less predictable.
Brian, thanks so much. Brian Battle, Director of Trading at Performance Trust in Chicago. Coming up, betting and buffalo wings. The two soon could be served up together at Buffalo Wild Wings.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Buffalo Wild Wings long has been a safe bet for chicken and beer. Now it's taking a close look at offering sports betting. Joining us to talk about it, Mike Ozanian, Assistant Managing Editor of Forbes Media and co-host of Forbes Sports Money on FS1's Yes Network. And Mike, I guess, first of all, this is coming up at this time because of the recent Supreme Court ruling that allows states to get into the sports betting arena.
You're absolutely right, Regine, and thanks for having me on. Yes, you got to look at it this way. People go to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch sports. A lot of them already bet on sports or play fantasy sports, which is sort of a way of betting on your favorite players and teams. So it's a natural fit. Buffalo Wild Wings is in every state in the United States. It's widespread. I kind of view this not as something that will earn a big profit directly in terms of the money the restaurant chain would make from gambling. Margins are very, very thin, but more or less as a way of getting more patrons into the restaurant. Same restaurant sales at Buffalo Wild Wings, that is, for restaurants open at least a year, were down a little bit last year. The economics have gotten very competitive. So this is something I think they're doing to try to get ahead of the competition, places such as maybe like Hooters, for example.
As I was going to ask you, as we see more and more states adopt this, are we going to see a proliferation to the point where maybe there's going to be saturation of the market?
I think in restaurants, it'll be difficult because there really aren't that many chains that cater to the sports fan that are nationwide. And number two, it's going to take a long time, because you got to clear certain regulations. You got to get, you know, the technology in place. It's not going to happen overnight. Number two, we've already seen the leagues say, you know what, we want to get 1% at least of any action that takes place in terms of betting. So there's a lot of things that still have to be worked on in order for this to be implemented. But I do think you'll see other restaurants that do have a national footprint, if they can, implement sports betting.
Mike, does Buffalo Wild Wings have to change anything in its business model to make this work, or is it pretty well set?
I think their business model is pretty much set. They were sold to Arby's at the beginning of the year. Arby's is owned by a private equity firm. In other words, a bunch of Wall Street guys. But these guys are very smart, and they own a lot of different types of restaurants, everything from Carvel to those guys you see in malls that make pretzels. So they really know the economics of restaurants, and I think they have the expertise and the financial muscle to be able to implement this. And again, as to Regina's question in terms of, you know, will it be very competitive, there really aren't a lot of restaurant chains out there that can make this work, because you need a national footprint, you need the money, and you need to really be catering to sports fans. And quite frankly, there aren't many of those outside of, you know, the typical ones you expect in, you know, Las Vegas or Atlantic City.
Mike Ozanian with Forbes Media and co-host of Forbes Sports Money on FS1's Yes Network. Thanks for joining us. We'll check the markets when we come back later. An entrepreneur who's embraced Bitcoin and blockchain technology.
WBBM News Time 12:25. As we check business, here's Lisa Parenti.
Regine, the Dow is now sinking 200 points back to 25,309. NASDAQ tumbling 38 points or 0.5%. S&P down 18. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by 0.5%. Crude oil futures are higher by about 1% to $67.50. Now let's turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets are sharply lower as we go through the noon hour. A negative monthly supply-demand report, which showed higher U.S. than the world numbers, has been the negative feature, coupled with a favorable near-term weather forecast. Corn futures are down 7 to 8 cents, soybeans 38 to 40 cents lower, and the wheat market 8 to 10 cents lower. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Kurt, thank you. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Alisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Regine Schlesinger.
And for Chris Kreidel, I'm Jim Gooder. Still ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The markets are tanking today. As we approach the weekend, we'll talk about what's moving Wall Street.
Entrepreneur Friday, a financial advisor who shifted his focus to Bitcoin and blockchain technology.
Horse racing fans getting ready for tomorrow's Arlington Million. Why it's drawing non-racing fans as well.
News we're watching, massive wildfires force thousands out of their homes in California.
Chicago health officials issue a warning about the West Nile virus.
On the WBBM Market Watch, the Dow now down 192, the S&P 500 down 17, and the NASDAQ's down 37.
82 degrees in Chicago. It feels as though it's 84. The WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
The markets are down right now following steep losses overseas. Let's look at what's moving Wall Street with Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. So, Jeff, your take on what's dragging the markets down today?
Well, Jim, you're absolutely right. We are seeing some selling pressure. I would not use the adjective of tanking, though. We're only seeing the Dow down less than 1%. I think this is pretty healthy. But at the end of the day, we are seeing some fatigue. It's been a fantastic move up in equities. And if you talk about everyone's the sell in May theory, well, it has worked out well for the sellers. The stock market's up about 8% since May. So I think this is pretty typical. We're going to the end of the week. We're covering up some risk. So we are seeing a little bit of selling pressure. But these tariffs, this conversation with China and the U.S. administration on continued tariffs, it is escalating, and that tension is bothersome.
Jeff, is this more just people sitting back and seeing what's going to happen, and perhaps there might be a few more sellers than buyers, but it's not necessarily, you know, a steep reaction to what's going on?
Well, Jim, I think it's more of a trade tussle, right? It's not truly a trade war, a trade fight, but we are kind of dipping our toes a little bit further into the water every week that goes by. And let's remember, we're on a couple different fronts here. We're trying to reestablish trading partners, and that takes some time. So this is not going to happen in a week. It may take a couple of months, but we are working towards a goal, which I think the market will digest and move higher. But short term, I think there's a lot of rhetoric. We're also being focused on some of the Iranian sanctions that got reinstated by the U.S. administration, and that retaliation also could be making folks nervous. And that was actually the reason why we have seen oil move a little bit higher today.
Jeff, the old lorry is that really August is never very representative because so many of the institutional traders are off in the Hamptons vacationing. Is that a myth?
It is a bit. They may have to put on their penny loafers and get back from the Hamptons this August because we are seeing volatility increase. Today we're seeing a spike in the VIX about 14%, and that is off of unusually low, historic low volatility measurements. And at the end of the day, I think August is going to be a really important month because we have so many different moving parts here, Regine. We have inflation data that came out this week. We have the Federal Reserve, which is trying to monitor the inflation and not make the economy overheat because let's remember, we had a tremendous 4.1% GDP rating, really indicating the fact that our economy is doing quite well here domestically.
Even with some of the recent volatility in stocks like Facebook and some of the other FANG stocks, the NASDAQ is near its record high. Do you expect that's going to continue, or are people going to kind of take a breather from the tech stocks a bit?
Well, we are seeing a little bit of profit taking, but I think you're absolutely right. Those FANG stocks, those tech stocks, certainly have been outperforming. We did have an eight-day run. But one of the things we're talking to a lot of our clients here in Chicago are about rebalancing. And what that means, Regine, is that if you had an allocation, let's say you had 40 stocks to begin the year, those 40 stocks all started at 2.5% allocation. Well, Amazon's up over 60% year-to-date. So that 2.5% is now closer to 3.5%. So right now we want to rebalance, which essentially is booking profits, selling winners, and buying some of the losers. But that rebalance really helps us mitigate risk to the downside if we do see the stock market go a little bit deeper than 1% or 2% to the downside.
Jeff, just a little more thought on what's going on overseas with Iran and with Turkey and just with the trade talks and that sort of thing. What's your advice other than rebalancing portfolios for investors? How should they be looking at this? How should they be reacting to it?
Well, it is interesting to see, you know, you look at the Chinese stock market itself down significantly on the year in comparison to the S&P 500. We're also seeing international funds down. So I think a lot of the laggards, if you're looking for allocation to the international, specific to Europe, I think now is a time to slowly move into that. But we also like some of the sectors that have been laggards here domestically, Jim, and that's the industrials. If you look at the ETF IYJ, that has Boeing, that has MMM, which is the 3M company, Cat G, some of the laggards we see. But we also like financials to end up the year. IYG is the ETF we like to utilize for that. That's the JP Morgans, the Morgan Stanley's, the Bank of America's, which should see interest rates move higher. They should have that profit center really come back to life. So financials and industrials are our focus, but we are trying to pick up cheap international exposure as well.
It's been such a strong earnings season. Do you think that stocks are pretty fairly valued right now?
I think slightly above fair value, right? And I think that has a lot to do, Regine, with the fact when you see a big sell-off in Germany, when you see a big sell-off in Europe, where are they pushing that money? It's coming to the U.S. stock market. So in essence, the stock market, I think, could be a little bit overpriced due to the fact we've become a safe haven. And I know it's a crazy thing to say. Typically, safe havens are U.S. treasuries and gold. But the U.S. stock market, with the Federal Reserve backing it up, has become a little bit of a safe haven. So I think you have to really be selective on your specific stock or sectors. And that's why we run a lot of sector rotation models at KCAM to really help people understand that the days of being just long the indices, if it's SPY, the ETF you utilize, I think those days are gone. And those days were really great for the last decade because the U.S. Federal Reserve really had your back.
So, Jeff, should you be a buyer? Should you be a holder? Should you be a seller right now? What's your advice?
I think you need to be a finicky buyer here. I think you're going to see a little bit of asset repricing in the month of August. I think you're going to have the opportunity to pick up some of these names that we really do like, the JP Morgans, the American Express, the Visas, even the Goldman Sachs. Some of these names that have underperformed in 2018 in comparison to the FANG stocks like the Microsoft, the Facebook, and Amazon. So get up that shopping list a little bit early, Jim. I think August is going to see Santa.
Jeff, thanks so much. Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, a financial advisor ups the game on Bitcoin and blockchain.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Entrepreneur Friday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Normandy Remodeling. We're talking with a financial advisor who shifted the focus of his practice to the budding technology known as blockchain. Our guest is Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management and portfolio manager of Senecal's Blockchain Enterprise Investment Strategy in Glenview. Bill, first of all, explain to us what blockchain is.
Well, blockchain technology, I mean, up until now, we've had the Internet of Information. So, for example, when I send information through the Internet, like a spreadsheet, a PDF file, or a copy of a digital image, All I'm really sending the recipient, right, is a copy, and I maintain possession of the original version. Now, that works great for things like, you know, cat videos and, you know, digital images. It doesn't work well for value, like things like money and international settlements or the trillions of dollars that move through the global supply chain. So blockchain technology is a new form of technology that allows companies, people, computers to transfer an original version or a limited supply of a digital asset with unique rights of ownership, person to person, without the need of a trusted intermediary like a bank, the recorder of deeds office, or a brokerage firm. So it's this computer, it's a network of connected computers that perform the trusted function that an intermediary or a bank might perform. So it gives everybody that uses blockchain technology really like 100% certainty that they have an original ownership of an asset and not a counterfeit or a copy.
You have said that this is more of a game changer, you think, than social media or cloud computing. That's a pretty big thing.
I know. And I have to tell you, it's really amazing technology. And you have to think about, again, if you step back a little bit and think about how far we've come with the Internet, the gross domestic global, you know, GDP is around $100 trillion, you know, give or take a few trillion. And much of that money moves very inefficiently. It still uses fax machines, paper invoices, and like triplicate wire transfers that can take between 2 and 10 days to go overseas. And there's still trillions of dollars that's held in cash reserves sitting on the side as a pledge against counterparty risk. So blockchain technology in the coming decades is going to unshackle all that. All these assets of people all over the globe, it's going to permit them to move seamlessly, securely, and almost instantaneously around the globe.
Now, Bill, a lot of people have questions about blockchain. There's a lot of misconceptions about blockchain. A lot of people think they know blockchain. Maybe they don't. And you have come up with an event later this month at Navy Pier, The Voice of Blockchain, to kind of explain it all. So explain to us what The Voice of Blockchain will do.
Well, Chicago is positioning itself as really the blockchain capital of the world. And this is a two-day conference on August 24th and 25th. And it's the best in class. I mean, it's developers, programmers, business owners, real people doing real projects, trying to solve solutions using blockchain technology. And really, any business owner, a chief technology officer, anyone that's involved in like supply chain management or commercial grain elevator operators, database managers, international lending, logistics, like anybody who's in that field, which really is almost everybody, right, should consider attending this conference because it's going to give them an opportunity to raise their hand and say, hey, I need help with the project. I need help understanding blockchain. Can you help me? It's a very collaborative event with really good people doing good things.
Bill Ulivieri, who is the owner of Senecal Capital Management and portfolio manager of Senecal's Blockchain Enterprise Investment Strategy in Glenview. Thanks for joining us again. The Voice of Blockchain will be at Navy Pier on August 24th and 25th. You can get more info at voiceofblockchain.com. And still ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour, the Arlington Million Horse Race is tomorrow. What's in it for fans beyond racing?
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Thousands will converge on Arlington International Racecourse tomorrow for the 36th annual Arlington Million. And it's become a major event, even for non-racing fans. And we're talking with Howard Sudbury, spokesman for the Arlington International Racecourse in Arlington Heights. So, Howard, it used to be that just the fact that it had a million-dollar purse was the big draw, but it has evolved so much more beyond that, hasn't it?
It has, definitely, Jim. Good afternoon to both of you. And, yeah, it's evolved because, really, if you go to a Bulls game, you look at all the – there's nonstop entertainment and music and things going on and commercial breaks, timeouts. So it's kind of the same thing in horse racing. And on our biggest day, we line up entertainment that goes on between the races. The horses are the stars, and when the big horses come out onto the track, the focus is there. But this year we've got a concert by a big country artist and the songwriter, Eric Paisley. That's free with general admission. Jim Cornelison sings the national anthem, which I think kind of officially makes it a huge event in Chicagoland. We have musical performances between the races, and then a chance for you to make a bet and make some money.
Now, Howard, this isn't just a chance to see an exciting horse race or a series of races. It's really a chance to get a feel for what horse racing is today. I think a lot of people look at movies and think that's the way it is, especially older movies. But they really get the full experience of what it means to go to the track and all the things you can do there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the facility, it burnt in 1985, and Mr. Dutchessois rebuilt it. It opened in 1989. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility. It always looks great. It looks his best tomorrow. And a chance to see these, even if you don't follow horse racing day in and day out, you might know Justify that won the Triple Crown. You might not be able to name any other horses, but if you get on around the paddock area, when we get into the big races, you can tell that these are world class. I mean, they look fantastic. They've got their ears, you know, up in the air, their heads in the air, and they know they're hot stuff. And then the best jockeys ride them. It's fun to pick out a winner by any method you want. I do some handicapping for the people, as do our other handicappers, but you can pick out a name and go throw a couple bucks on it. And I tell you, I know people have bet $5 on a race and gotten back $8, and they talk about it for the rest of their lives. So it's just the thrill of your horse crossing the line first.
Well, the Arlington Million being run this coming Saturday, tomorrow at Arlington Park. Thanks very much, Howard Sudbury, spokesman for the Arlington International Racecourse in Arlington Heights. If you missed any part of today's WBBM Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. Markets are sinking. We'll tell you more coming up to wrap up the Noon Business Hour with a check of the markets.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's get a live look at the markets from Bloomberg and Elisa Peretti.
Jim, the losses are growing now. The Dow down 253 points, or 1%, and the benchmark's back to 25,256. NASDAQ down 58 points, or 0.75%, and the S&P's losses almost 1% now, down 23 points to 2830. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg sinking 0.2%. These are the worst Dow and S&P losses since June. At that time, Wall Street was worried about tariffs against the European Union and China and retaliation. Today, it's Turkey's economic crisis, the possibility it could spread. And what's behind that? U.S. sanctions and today more tariffs on Turkey's metal exports over an American pastor under house arrest on espionage suspicions. In the U.S., the cost of living has grown in the past year, but wages have not. The core consumer price index is up 2.4%, the most in a decade, and that doesn't even include food and fuel. And a separate Labor Department report finds inflation-adjusted wages have fallen slightly since July of last year. Google, Twitter, and Facebook have taken big steps to remove Islamic State propaganda from their platforms, experts say, but they're still facing a tough new law in the European Union. Bloomberg reports the EU is set to propose fines for internet companies if they fail to take down terrorist material. In just the first 3 months of this year, Facebook says it took down almost 2 million pieces of Islamic State and Al-Qaeda content. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.